Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
I also wanted to say that is one of my major shticks online.
Is being horny?
Is being horny, but to a point that I would never... It's not like, oh, I really want to date you. It's like, I'm obsessing over who you are as a person.
What's so strange, and this goes back to manifesting, is that, like, it's... We're not even, like, a degree of separation from any of the people, especially, like, you, Brittany, the people that you post about.
Like,
you are classily horny enough to where it's, like, they could see it and be, like, oh, this is, like...
Playing with fire.
It's not... Even when we talk...
I did that on the podcast, and then it was...
When we talk, it's, like, not that crazy for this A-lister to see this and respond.
Yeah.
No, and you were
there. Even more so, someone... These A-listers have friends that are normal people.
Right?
Which,
who
like,
are big fans of what
and they're like, send? It's like very easy.
I wish you hadn't said that.
Mm-hmm. It's just something that I figured out when I moved to LA, and like every person I was meeting, I was like, oh, this person was with this person last week. Like, I'm like so one degree away. And then I was like, oh, I'm at that person's house that I was talking about that was a degree away.
It's a matter of time. I feel that way.
No.
There's a rush that comes with it, though.
No.
I'm posting about, oh, Austin Butler, I need him so bad. I need him.
You're
I'm available.
See him soon.
I'm going to run into him.
Well, I was talking about on the podcast, speaking of manifestation, how the only fan fiction I have ever written was a sexual FBI fantasy about Matthew Gugler from Criminal Minds. And then a week later, met him and embarrassed myself pretty violently. But
that is,
I mean, if that fan fiction ever comes out, I'm toast.
Oh, you're done.
Yeah.
Is it uploaded anywhere?
I can't specify those details.
And we actually would not like to comment on that at this time.
But no, we it would. Is, but you'll never find it, I don't think.
We would like to say, welcome back to
Violating
Community Guidelines.
And that goes without saying, by the way, guys.
With Brittany and
Sarah.
And we're doing a part two to our internet duo from last week's episode with Connor and Brooke.
Woo!
They are
Thanks
still
for having
here.
Us back.
Mm-hmm.
Excited to be back.
Yeah. It was a long break.
It was.
Yes.
We've all changed, but we decided to change back into our clothes for continuity purposes.
Yes.
So we're going to get into like top internet duo examples, like deep dive into like what we feel like makes them work. We were also before this talking about like, you know, being horny online, which we do have an episode on. We probably have a couple.
Yeah.
Thirst
at this
traps
point.
And then horny on Main.
If you guys would like to check it out, please do.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, it's easier to be, like, a girl horny online.
Totally.
Because it's less threatening.
Female privilege.
Yeah, when male horny, it's like, oh, calm down, you know?
Right, you could not be horny the way that we're horny. It would be terrifying.
But you get way more action, probably, arguably.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy, yeah.
It's really crazy.
I can't even talk about it. I've signed so many NDAs.
No, I just like I can't relate to the going in day after day after day, but people do that. It's pretty crazy.
It is female privilege, I will actually say. Because I can post Austin Butler, what's your address? And the FBI will be called on me.
Yes.
But if he was under fucking Kaya Gerber's stuff, like loving you.
Yes.
Loving you so much.
I love you. It would be like, this is sickened.
It would be. Can you leave women alone? Yeah. And I get it. There's a double standard, but I'm going
to
benefit from it.
Exactly. I will benefit till that.
Someone
I'll
needs
ride
to.
That train.
Yeah.
I think someone needs to.
My personal creed is I just like don't. And so maybe this is a gay thing. I don't like getting specific. So if I'm going to be horny, it's just like an aura.
A general horniness.
You know, like it could be anyone. But like I feel
you've
like.
You've been horny for some celebrities.
Yes, but I never, I don't like to like be like, fuck me or like eat me
right.
out.
Well, that's just disrespectful.
Right.
Yeah, and I feel like that would be crossing a line. So I just like to be a generally horny presence because I feel like the more specific you get is that's when it gets like, you bother someone or like you put someone like in an uncomfortable position.
You have almost an open door policy.
Uh-huh. Open butt.
you have office hours that are available. It's like, I've made it clear.
Right.
And I'm ready to receive you.
Right.
Now, I am horny about specific celebrities, but I think it's different from you in that it's not even sexual. It's like,
exactly.
Yeah, I'm just like like emotionally very horny.
No, don't
like,
get it twisted. I am horny for Austin Butler.
Yes, I just don't explicitly say that. Mm-hmm. I'm just like emotionally, I just want you to lay down next to me and I want you.
That is very, sorry to cut you off, but it is very, little girl of us to be like would love to take you on a date
hold my hand if you please
would you like to lay with me and I will touch your hair
when
all the fan fictions are like just the most sexually explicit thing you've ever
I feel like this is like an East versus West Coast situation right now.
It is
Do you have to be in love with someone to have sex with them? Brittany does.
Or
do you have to like someone?
I think I have to like them.
That's where I don't need that.
No connection. Yeah. Like, you could be like, it could fully be just like, I just need to take care of something really. I have to run some errands.
Right.
Yes.
No, there has to be emotion. Like, or at least I've had to have built emotion up in my head.
And it has to be reciprocated in some sense.
In some sense.
Because if they leave the next morning and never talk to me again, I'm devastated.
Game over.
It's locking myself away.
I think that is the goal.
Yeah.
Sort of for me.
Is to leave.
To never talk to them ever again. That's why I enjoy hooking up with couples. Because they have each other, and they just like, so usually if you hook up with someone.
Speaking
of duos, but no, because like if couples, they have each other, if it's not, I don't want no open relationships or anything. Well, I mean, it technically is. But I mean like if you talk to someone and then they get like emotionally invested is like what I'm not trying to achieve. So like the couples have each other so you can leave and never be seen again.
You're a third party.
Yeah. I'm like a tricycle.
That takes a very special skill too, I think. I think that's almost like a talent. Talent. I developed an accent just now.
Suddenly from the Midwest
Tapioca while I'm at it.
But speaking of twosomes, so we're going to talk about some top internet duos.
Woo!
We're starting with Rhett and Link.
R&L.
Rhett and Link.
Classic. I spoke ad nauseum about Rhett and Link on the last episode if you'd like to check that out. But I do want to talk about Smosh because we didn't really touch on Smosh. Same era as Fred, same era as Ray William Johnson, as forgetting some of the other ones, Shane Dawson, like old Shane Dawson. That whole era.
Jenna
where
Marbles, was that the same time?
That was Jenna Marbles, Barrett and Beretta. Do you remember them?
Yeah.
Please tell me you do.
Like long, long time ago. Like I don't even. I just know that the name is ringing a bell, but I can't even picture what I'm.
They had a famous skit that was Mother's Day, where they're trying to take a picture for their mom for Mother's Day, and they're in a suit, and they're fighting. They're like brothers fighting, and they're like by a piano. It's probably 3 minutes long. Changed comedy for me.
Can you pull up a picture of that? Like, I'm like...
Definitely try.
What era was like... Never mind, where I'm getting off topic, but...
But that whole era was... I was in probably sixth grade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is that video.
So we're looking up a picture of who?
Yes.
You remember Yes.
I don't remember them.
No, I'm so
did anything happen with them?
I couldn't tell you.
Oh,
I could not tell
you. That's so tragic.
Yeah,
to me.
they were the genesis of my obsession with internet.
Yeah,
comedy.
Because like it's so disheartening when you see someone that obviously had so much skill and change.
Oh, born for
at
it.
Least for you, and then they're selling insurance now. No offense to people that sell insurance, but like it's sad to see someone's skills not have an outlet and then see it die.
Or people that have paved the way for us to do what we can do.
Right.
It's very, I used to love Smosh. And this used to be a way to bond. What a lot of people don't really talk about is that this used to be a way to bond with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
When you were in sixth, seventh, eighth grade, finding someone else who, like, was obsessed with YouTube the way mm-hmm. you were. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Very, and like, soul bonded. So mm-hmm. I think that that is Ian and Anthony definitely were part of that. They're part of the story of OG YouTube. I mean, mm-hmm. from like 2005 to probably 2010, mm-hmm. you know, when the Green Brothers were active and all that, of like really laying the path for the career of a YouTuber to even be a real possibility. Mm-hmm. I think that they're very fundamental to this story.
Mm-hmm. So Anthony and Ian, for everyone, they're like YouTubers. They started this company called Smosh. And I would argue they're probably like one of the very like earliest like big YouTube accounts.
Yeah.
But they did sketches. I think they were friends and like before, obviously, that.
Right.
But what do you think like made them work? Just the fact that they were already friends and they probably bonded over the fact that they enjoy making people laugh.
They were just fucking funny and they were creative and it was stupid. It was that stupid humor, 2009, 2010. Mm-hmm. They would do challenges. They would do songs. They would do, I used to love, they would open fan mail.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how I was obsessed. And also they were cute.
Yeah.
And people would pick teams. Mm. That's a big thing in well, we see the negative side of it in
yeah.
duos, but people love to pick sides.
Yes.
And they love to pit us against each
no
other.
Need.
And yeah. hey, that's, don't do that.
That's
no
the
need.
Annoying thing is yeah. where like you can't appreciate two people working together. They're like, well, Sarah would be nothing or Brittany would be. It's like, right. shut up. Like you're making it weird.
Like yeah. you're clearly a duo because you are on the same
and
side.
We're hoping
team,
that this is successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we are working yeah. together. It's not like at the end of the semester one of us has to die.
Right.
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 We you have the Hunger the Hunger Games.
Choose which
Barry
one of us
situation.
Gets fired.
Yeah.
Which in the comments.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that like, however, those comments can get to people who are like unnatural duos. So like if they came together, do you know what I mean? So there mm-hmm. are unnatural duos. Like, so you are friends with Ethan Klein, but Ethan Klein and then what was his frenemies, the
Trisha
podcast.
Trisha Paytas.
I think those yes. comments could easily get to like Trisha probably and like split them up. I think if you're friends, like you're if you're a natural duo, I would probably classify this. Then it would just be like kind of rude because it's like I'm not going to, you know. Go like every time I walk in the kitchen, I'm not gonna be like, oh my god, I'm so much better than Brittany. Like,
right.
I hope she like, you know.
It breeds just this unnecessary competition when like, who's winning?
Yeah.
What is there
right.
to be
There's
won?
There's no competition.
Yeah. yeah.
It's more fun when people are rooting for the team.
Yeah.
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 With something like frenemies, I feel like that is well, part of the pull is that they fucking hated each other.
Right.
Well, or Trisha hated.
Did you say
Ethan.
We're best friends? I mean, I said we're best friends, but you said it first, or else I wouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
Like, that's what are we talking about?
That was the beginning and the end, probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole other pull because people are watching that with the sole intention to just, it's like monkeys in a cage.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
What are they going to do next?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Versus, oh, wow, these people have a really good comedic banter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I really enjoy it for that aspect.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between, like reactionary comedy, I guess,
mm-hmm.
of like, what the fuck are they? It's funny because it's they hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's not sustainable.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, they kind of proved that.
They sure did.
Yeah.
But I would argue like that podcast idea was like very unique in that like they probably didn't like each other. And so usually every podcast, they are friends. Like, so it's really interesting to like see people like, it was like, you know, enemies to podcasters, sort of like
that classic trope.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
there's influencers to musicians, and then there's enemies to podcasters.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right.
Exactly.
Do y'all remember that whole era? I mean, it's very recent. Like, took over my For You page during the pandemic.
Oh, yes. I just, like, scrolled past.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Some people chose to be very invested. Some people were like, I'm sick of seeing this.
Right.
Regardless, do you guys watch T-Channels?
No, what's that?
Oh. Do you?
I do watch some tea channels. I mainly watch the girl who does her makeup while she talks about
yeah,
talk
so
shit.
That's so good.
Wait, yeah. What is it's tea channel? Is it like gossip?
On YouTube, yes, it is complete social media gossip.
Mm-hmm.
And
that
it's tea channels
good.
On YouTube. It's good. You would be very interested.
Yeah, it
and you would
like
learn
it.
A lot.
Yeah.
It can
say
be good
more.
For you.
Say more.
These people make so much money talking shit about the shit that influencers do.
Wow.
Main characters, James Charles.
Yeah.
Whenever Tana does something.
Okay.
It's a lot of that of just like, you'll never guess what Gabby Hanna did this week. Let's get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I do watch.
You tune in.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard
just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
I'd like
it. That's a weird human thing that we do is like, so if I, first thing I do in the morning, you can sue me. I go to Snapchat and I open the Snapchat Discover page and I know where, and I'm like, oh, Charli D'Amelio went to Catch last night in New York. That's kind of sick.
So is it screenshot?
Yeah, no, I'm like, oh, this is interesting. That's literally where I get my news, which is really
Snapchat.
Hard to say out loud. I don't know why Snapchat, like involuntarily, that's the first thing
they
open.
They make it so easy.
There's a lot of pictures.
Yeah, I go to sleep kind of early, and so I like have notifications of people that have Snapchatted things while I was asleep.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it's more mindless for me than a text that I have to respond to right away. Like I can open the Snapchats that are sent. But right. Snapchat Discover page, it's really funny because it'll be like, I grew a foot out of my neck. Here's my story.
right
next to, we've bombed Russia again. I'm like, okay, let's go through these emotions at 7:42 a.m.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we need to do an
episode on
that.
They know how to get you and reel you in.
I mean, those tea pages, I'm tuning in. It's usually like old recycled stuff, and I'm like, I already saw this on Tuesday.
Right.
But a lot of it's like, oh, I'm learning that Harry Jowsey is now dating Pete Davidson.
And you're better because of it.
Yeah, I am. I'm more informed.
Such a crazy reality to think that is the cusp of groundbreaking journalism. Snapchat
really is. Really is. I love screenshotting the contrast too. How bread mold took half my family right next to Charli D'Amelio ate a boa steakhouse. Yeah. I'm like, ooh, which one should I click?
Both.
Yeah.
And you do read.
I'll
both.
Get to you in a second, Charli. Gotta check out some bread mold real quick.
They're both on our international news. But then we have this one that I'm kind of scared to talk about because I don't know, like, I know that their relationship goes super deep and it's weird. So Dan and Phil, I was never personally into, like, Dan and Phil. Mm-hmm. All I know is that their fans ship them for some reason and then Dan and Phil ask them to not do that.
I have never seen such
feral.
Intense, feral, invasive.
Wow.
And wait, I, of course, ship like nothing. They wanted to, you, they, yeah. They were writing fan fiction about Dan and Phil.
Yeah.
Just the
and
most
more
romantic,
so like Louis and Harry kind of
more,
that works.
Yes, works.
Wait, can I see Dan and Phil?
Yeah.
Let's see if I recognize
them. So they're YouTubers and basically like
I do recognize them.
People ship them and it made them like uncomfortable. Yeah. There's a lot more to it. I think that this is also something that happens because not speaking specifically of them, I think a lot of audience members are a little bit simple where like they're like, how are these people together? Or like they're in a relationship. Like, I don't know if anyone's ever shipped you guys. Like, it's where they can't wrap their mind around like
they're friends.
So if they're not related and they're not dating, like, what are they?
Right.
You know?
God, we fucking each other. Please tell me you're fucking each other. Right. Oh my God, please. Show us pictures, please. That's literally it.
Yeah, if they're like friends, like this close, like if they're this close, they must be like dating or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really uncomfortable. It's like anytime I hang out with a lesbian or someone who's gay, there's just a bunch of DMs. It's like, you guys dating? It's like, whenever you hang out, like, do you date every man that you hang out with?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. They don't know.
Oh, I try. Yeah.
Yes. No, I don't date them. Mm-hmm. Fuck.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, like, do you guys get that? Like,
Yeah. And it's honestly for us, it's like fun to play into.
Yeah.
But especially like early on, our videos together, when she would fly in, we would make 8 videos in a day.
I remember.
And they'd all get 1 million views or something in a day. And could not be me now, but like, because people eat it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if it's like totally obviously fake, that would, you know, but
love it.
It's fascinating.
I think this got pushed to like a point where like people were writing like graphic fan fiction or like asking them about it or like creating all these like things that these guys saw, you know, that was like uncomfortable. I imagine it's like probably a really funny, like, you know, we're dating, we're in love, yeah, we're engaged. Yeah. But then, like, I imagine when it gets to that point, if someone, like, wrote legit fan fiction about you two that, like, went viral and you had to see it, and now it made your relationship kind of, like...
Your job.
Yeah.
Exactly. When when your job is to be professionally funny together and something like that is unavoidable, you're doing live shows and there's signs that are just so, you know, like, that sort of stuff. It's like, that is... It gets to a point, and I feel like with Dan and Phil, I would love to hear the audience's perspective.
Yeah,
also,
I feel like they're about to give it.
And whether we ask for it or not, you guys are going to give it. This was such a thing on Tumblr. Such a thing on Tumblr.
That's scary.
I always just like scrolled by it because I didn't watch them. I wasn't interested. I was kind of adjacent to that. You know, I had my obsessions, and then Dan and Phil were just always there. Edited them in flower crowns and fucking you know, whatever.
The bathroom Paris sign.
Exactly. In my bathroom. Yeah. Ugh, where'd you guys get this picture? So I would love to hear fan perspectives of how involved were you with that whole community? What did they ever publicly say about it? What was the fan reaction to if they spoke out about it? I would love to hear.
You know what I've been kind of like thinking about lately? With all of, I mean, this specifically just made me think of it. And like Jeff Wittick suing David Dobrik right now. Like, we don't have an HR department.
We don't.
You know, and it's like, there are boundaries that will get crossed, and we just have to, like, suck it up. And usually I'm not, like, on HR's side. I deal with HR so much at jobs, but I'm just like, oh, like, where does, like, what do we do when it gets that? There's nothing to do.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you think you need someone's consent to write mature fan fiction about them? That's where my head is now.
That's a good question.
Because now I'm getting nervous.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. If I get sued by Robert Downey Jr., I'm in that with you.
I'm going I'm going to be locked up.
Yeah, no, well, and we'll be soulmates.
Because I have...
Gray area.
When I reached 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, I wanted to do, like, this fan fiction episode where I paid three people, like, different prompts and, like, tropes to write fan fiction about me. And a lot of the writers on Fiverr wouldn't write about a real person. It would have to be a character. Like, they actually, like, denied my, like, payment. So I guess there is... So, okay, if you're a fan fiction writer and you're for hire, do you find some sort of ethical dilemma when it comes to a real person? Because I think a lot of people who, like, responded to me, their worry was that this person would see it and feel uncomfortable.
I think you found the only three morally stable
people. No, dude, I reached out to, like, 15, like, Fiverr, like, fan fiction writers, and I think they just live by a creed, you know? It's crazy.
This is the way.
Yeah. Someone wrote
There's a real
fan
honor system in the fan fiction Fiverr community.
There is. Someone wrote fan fiction about me and this hot trainer at my gym because I had specifically demanded that someone write fan fiction about that, and it got back to him. And I felt so...
Oh, and he did approach her on the elliptical.
Yeah, I felt so mortified and horrible because it's like, I'm so sorry you did not ask to be included in this fan fiction. And I felt like I can't go back to the gym.
I need to go run around.
I know, it really, really... He approached me.
Actually, not only did he approach her, the person at the front desk...
It's really a bad
mentioned,
situation
oh, we
now.
Are all big fans here at... Or, sorry.
It's fine. There's so many locations.
At the gym. And we've all read it. Or we've all listened to Connor read it, actually.
It circulated.
Well, I'm so stupid that I'm like, oh, nothing will ever get back to anyone, though I'm broadcasting it on the internet.
Right.
We're talking about how everything's like 1 degree of separation as if the people that are 4 miles away are not going to have access to this podcast. You forget that the audience is huge and it's shareable.
Yeah.
Basically, what happened was I had just seen this picture of this trainer at the gym. I hadn't even met him, and I was like, he is really breathtaking. So I was like, can somebody write a fan fiction about me and this trainer? Just like thinking nothing of it. And then someone did, and I was like, oh my God, I wasn't expecting someone to write it. And then I made it was so good.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't like sexual or anything. It was just like tension, like exercising, stretching, like whatever.
Yes.
And then I made Connor read it on the podcast. And then
it was like when Brooke thought that she couldn't do one more rep, and then tight.
Don't say his name.
Oh, fuck.
Come on. Well, it's out there now.
And then I walked into the gym, and the guy at the front desk was like, love the podcast. And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. Thought nothing of it. Then I'm walking up the steps. I stopped dead in my tracks, cold sweat, realizing the implications. And then, like, the next week, the subject of the fan fiction approached me.
You know what? You got to giggle.
Yeah, he was a good sport, but
you know what?
Horrible.
Right.
And I would never do. I would not do it again.
And you can't go back.
No.
Female privilege of being horny on Maine.
Totally.
But if a man would never write that about a woman.
Yeah.
Right. Because they don't want like this sensual like tension build up. It would be something graphic probably. Yes.
But I would also argue a majority of the people who wrote fan fiction about Dan and Phil, where he literally had to put out a statement, stop doing it, was women.
Mm. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Whoa, that's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, the same with Larry Stylinson.
Yeah, I was just going to say it happened to Harry and Louis too. Like, we're in a relationship.
Yeah, because it just gets so...
Why would women who were in who are in love probably with these people and attracted to them want to imagine them together?
A great idea. A great question.
That is a good point you bring up.
Well, here's the thing. So, like, a lot of times... This is a similar vein. So, a lot of times why people like to watch like gay male porn as opposed to lesbian porn is because we're like lesbians specifically, like you don't believe like attraction between like two women, but like you believe like attraction between like two men, you know what I mean? Like that's why so like lesbian porn is obviously not made for like lesbians, it's made for like straight people, right. And like in a similar way, like so when you ship like two men like together, like you believe that they're like, just do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, where it's more because I feel historically lesbian porn or lesbianism has been for the male gaze.
Yeah, and so a lot of the people who are writing fan... I'm not saying that everyone who writes fan fiction is
gaze,
a straight
like
girl.
Eyes, not the male gaze. I was
G-A-Z.
I'm losing everybody.
Mm-hmm. But I'm saying like a lot of like sapphics will write like fan fictions that don't necessarily blow up because it's a less of a community. However, like fangirls are like such a huge thing for like guys. Mm-hmm. So often they'll push two people together and like everyone's like heavily invested in that.
There's a weird with the Larry fandom of like it's a conspiracy. Mm-hmm. And so it's like they think they're right and they will die on that hill. And it's that thing too. And I feel like it was the same thing with Dan and Phil of like, I know I'm right. You guys just watch. And it's like obviously not fucking true at all and they're delusional. Mm-hmm. And then they have to come out and make a statement. You are making us uncomfortable. We're actually going to stop filming together because you're making us so uncomfortable. Oof, and this fan base is like absolutely insufferable. It's like, do you not realize that that's what you're doing?
Yeah.
It's a level of delusion.
I also think, that I'm just putting myself in the shoes of like a Larry shipper, which I was not, or like a Dan and Phil shipper. It can be really hard to come to terms with the fact that you are not going to end up with one of these men.
Right.
And so I think it might make it easier to just assume that they're gay and they're going to end up together.
Right.
Because that just makes it easier. They're not going to end up with you anyway, so that just...
I was going to say, like, it's super weird to think about that. And then, like, when they do start dating, you know, like, these guys, like, at least for One Direction, started dating women and girls were devastated.
And girls were sending them death threats.
Yes. Yeah. Versus you wouldn't send a member of the band a death threat.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You wouldn't send what?
A member of the band a death threat.
Yeah.
You would just send their girlfriends.
Mm-hmm. Right,
yeah, and
right.
I think it's just easier to see.
Well, then also, like, I think, like, it's also crazy to think about, like, there's probably a lot of Taylor Swift fan fiction, but you guys wouldn't write that. Because you don't fantasize about it. So there's more fan fiction about men because, like, that's who people fantasize about.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is, like, Taylor Swift fan fiction, it's probably written by
you.
Me. Mm-hmm. Taylor, hey.
You know what the flip side of it, though, is, too? Like, Rhett and Link have read fan fiction on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So you embrace it and you make fun of it, or you say, thanks for thinking of us.
Mm-hmm.
Or you take the dramatic, you know, apocalyptic approach of, like, we are so...
Yeah.
Offended and whatever. I think it's all a matter of, are you ready and willing to lose the fan base that is writing that about you? Mm-hmm. It's very, very strange. I would, again, love to hear
personal
Dan and Phil stories.
It's hard to acknowledge things like that that make you uncomfortable and try to make a joke out of it because it kind of is like, then it opens up.
Enables
that,
it.
That part of the internet that's the besties, hate besties, and then insult.
Yeah.
So, no. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, we opened up this conversation about X, say my eyebrows, which I'm totally come to terms with. But like, it's kind of like here, it's like when you make fun of your sibling and then someone else chimes in and you're like, what the fuck did you just say? Like, it's only cool
that's
if
exactly
I say it.
Yeah.
So like when I open something up and then everyone's like, oh, we can all comment on this now and making fun. It's like, no, stop.
Yeah,
it's like that. There's like this TikTok audio where it's like, I don't know, like I'll post like an old picture of myself and then everyone's like, you look like you would have been a bitch to me in like college. It's like, that's still me.
Yes.
I'd be a bitch to you right now.
Right.
You know? But it's like a weird thing. Also, this is an attack on to like Dan and Phil. So they've been around forever, but they both came out as gay in 2019. So what also could have made them wildly uncomfortable is the fact that people are suggesting that they're gay and they're coming to terms with their sexuality.
That's a layer.
And to be like forced to do it so publicly because you are so huge is like something that may.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but yes. Wait. What was that thing? If you were talking about.
Just like, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have eaten the mint on camera. Now it's all over the place.
You committed. You gotta just
I know.
Swallow it whole.
It's part of. It's so sharp right now. It's actually poking my that thing
brain.
In my
mouth.
Yeah. Uvula.
I think I might start bleeding here, but just acknowledging something opens up the space for people to keep talking about it. And it's like it's almost easier to just ignore it until it stops.
Yeah. But then you also get that thing of like, has anyone ever told you that you look like this? And it's like the most, everyone thinks they have the most profound comment like every single time. I know that you get like the yellow M&M. Like, and you've acknowledged it, but like, and then, but you've acknowledged it, but even like a year later, people be like, has anyone ever said it? It's like, yes, dipshit, sorry. Yes, dipshit. Like people have said that. I also hate that we talk about this a lot. You'll like make, I'll make fun of something about myself. And then everyone else.
You
that
cannot,
they,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's on invitation. Sibling.
It's like, no, you, I get to do this as a bit.
Yeah.
It's not an open door for you to come in and chime in. Do not chime in.
Yeah, all comedians deal with that, though.
Right.
I mean.
I know. It's about being strong.
And the
I'm
great
not
thing
strong.
About.
I've never claimed to be strong.
Skinned.
I'm not.
Yeah. No, the great thing about, like, being an online presence is that you can create this safe space for people. But Connor was saying this morning, we were talking about a comment I got that really pissed me off. And Connor was saying, like, it's a safe space, but it's not that safe.
I say,
you know?
I've always said my comments are not a safe space.
Yeah.
If you're not saying this is funny, if you're not saying something objectively positive, you're blocked.
Yeah.
I'm so trigger happy with blocking people because if it's, you lose privileges.
I've had,
you've lost privileges.
You're banned.
Mm-hmm. And I've had people make second accounts or have their friends email, please unblock me. I was like, I don't remember why I blocked your friend or you.
It's for a good reason.
But I don't, no, you're not welcome back into my home.
Yeah.
And also, no, that's it.
I don't block people. I make public examples out
Yes.
of them.
That's smart.
I used to do that and then.
Send the dogs.
I used to just respond to insults in video form. And that was like my brand for a while. But then people kept like sending me hate comments in the hopes that I would respond
exactly.
to them.
And
they it became too much. Like I was like, this is actually
my favorite thing is
negatively.
Like, yes, I'm commenting on this because I'm blocking you, but I'm giving it 10 minutes for other people to see this.
Yeah.
So they know that I'm blocking you.
Yeah.
They'll be like, this sucks. You've done better. Like, your content lately sucks. I'm like, really? Do you really think that? And they're like, oh my God, King, you responded. I didn't think you No, breathe. But you know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I can't say what I was going to say on.
Yeah. It's hard because it's like these people just love you so much. They think you're besties and they think they can neg you and, you know, say this and that. Just getting a response out of you, even if it's a negative response, is a win in their book because you acknowledge them. That is not actually how it works. And you will get blocked and we will make a public example out of you. And it's very unfortunate.
Dude, I honestly would prefer outright homophobia than someone who thinks that we're best friends and like uses an insecurity as like a punchline and a joke or like oversteps. Like, so I have a mustache that I shave. And so, like, if also you have to remember, in a comment section, all context is removed. I don't know what tone you're using. I don't know if you've been following me. So if you're like, love your makeup and your mustache, that may be something. If Brittany commented that, I would understand the context of how she's saying that. But I don't know who you are, and that really, like, hurts my feelings. I don't care if you like me.
Yeah.
I would much rather you call me a slur than, like, pretend like we're besties.
You and, like it and pin it.
And, and then tear me down. You know what I mean?
Right.
I got 100%.
We were just talking over lunch. By the way, I got drunk the other night and someone tweeted that my tweet was not funny. I was like, it would be absolutely hilarious though if you went missing randomly. And I was like, maybe a little harsh at 2:48 a.m. But I have to stand by it. What am I going to do? Back up and be like, my bad, that was harsh?
Yes.
Don't get my. It's not a safe space.
Yeah.
Watch yourself. Fuck around and find out.
Fuck around, but I'm going to tweet your address at you.
I'm going to dox you. Sorry. And Brooke and I were talking, like, I have found out insecurities from TikTok.
Oh, we talk about this all the time. Yeah, things I didn't know I should be embarrassed
for. Yeah. What are you?
No, I've gotten so many things on my body fixed since TikTok.
Yeah, we get a lot of you're so brave. Yeah. I just look like this, man. Yeah, I don't know what you mean by that.
Yep. Oh, yeah. This is like something similar. Like, so we're comedians. Like, Brittany and I, and both of you are as well. So, like, there's the body positivity movement is like for people who are plus size. And Brittany and I do not claim to be like aesthetic-based influencers. So we'll sometimes post content where, like, our body is in it. Right. And someone will comment, I love seeing my body type represented.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
You do. That's, this is not the time nor the place, because we are not, like, fitness influencers, models, any people who, like, like, you are just looking at us and applying sort of, like, you're considering our entire being at once. Because you wouldn't do this to a male comedy influencer. Yeah. You wouldn't, like, say, like, I love that you're normalizing, because you cannot separate the comedy from the body when it comes to someone feminine. You have to consider, you have to appraise it all at once.
This is what I was bitching to Connor about this morning, and I feel bad that it upset me so much, because the comment itself, like, wasn't meant to be offensive.
Right.
But I just, like, have always struggled with my body. Never know, like, just don't know how to describe my body. Not sure. Whatever. And I was, like, showing off my new sweater vest, and someone was like, love this, like, love to love you, like, fellow mid-size queen. And I was like, oh, it's not a bad thing to be a mid-sized queen at all. I don't know how I would categorize my body. I struggle with that, you know.
And it sucks that someone does it for you.
It's it just felt like so awful, and I wanted to say something, but I didn't know.
You don't want
to
open the conversation.
I didn't know what to say, because it's not technically an insult, but, like, one, this video was not about my body.
Right.
Like, two, like, I'm so happy that you're happy with your body. And I'm happy if I could help you somehow be happy with your body.
Keep that to yourself.
But keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Because it's, I don't know. But I was like, I've been so, like, it's upset about that comment.
Yeah.
And she didn't mean anything by it.
That's the thing, is they don't mean to insult you.
No.
Versus, I feel like with, for example, Cody and Noel, you know, like, being short.
Right.
Oh, they just go in on them for being short king, da, 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 da. Looking tall today, king.
Right.
It's just, like, you know, it's like,
grandpa.
They
can do it to themselves, but you can't.
Right. They get it, but it's different than how women get it. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'd like to change the subject.
Okay.
Okay.
We're just bitching.
Sorry.
Okay, so we're going to move on to some...
Can we move on to Jenna and Julian?
Okay, yes.
Please?
We're going to move on to Jenna and Julian. Jenna Marbles.
We miss you.
Yes.
So much.
We hung out with her at a bowling alley one time. Super
That's
nice.
Awesome. She's a legend.
Brendan Urie was there. Couldn't tell you why.
Yeah.
Could not tell you why.
What bowling alley?
It was for our friend...
He's still there.
He works there.
Legend has it.
Yeah.
He lives under the... Pens.
He's giving out the shoes, yeah.
He's got a residency there at the bowling
alley. They turned him into the shoes.
He's got tenure at a bowling alley. He's been there so long, they can't get rid of him.
I don't know why
they got rid of
the
Zoltar machine, and it's just Brendan Urie reading out tarot cards.
We met the coolest. It's like one of those people, like, you meet your idol, and they're just like you imagine.
Oh, that's awesome to hear.
It is. I don't have enough compliments or praises for Jenna. I mean... truly. In the beginning,
was
and we all
word.
Remember.
Sorry.
There was...
was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God.
So you know,
the
true. That is so God.
Whatever. Keep going. Sorry. I'm gonna...
Now in our religious trauma segment.
Yeah. The Dolan twins. Okay, sorry. Sorry, keep going.
Speaking of duos.
Sorry.
In the beginning, Jenna made random videos with her dog, Mr. Marbles, and documented her work in the nightlife industry. She continued to post sporadically until her viral hit, How to Trick People Into Thinking You're Good Looking. After that, she started to post every Wednesday/Thursday. In late 2012, her and her ex broke up. A short while later, Jenna introduced fans to her new boyfriend, Julian Solomita. Jenna's fans were initially very cold and dismissive towards Julian, especially when he started appearing in her videos. But after showing his Aries energy, people started to warm up to him very quickly.
It's actually really strange that they warmed up to an Aries man.
He is the spokesperson for Aries men now.
Interesting.
Now, Julian often appears in Jenna's videos and helps her shoot them as well. This is a dated article that Stanley put in here, R.I.P. Mm-hmm. But I feel like people have such a positive nostalgia for Jenna. Mm-hmm. Separate from any other creator I can name.
Did she? So she started on YouTube?
Yeah.
I thought she was Vine as well.
No.
Oh, no. She's like 2005, like 2006. Wow.
Early YouTube.
Crazy.
You want to know some bullshit?
Yeah.
Worked for Barstool.
Jenna?
Jenna did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Whoa, way like, I didn't... back when?
Was there a time back in the day where Barstool wasn't what it is now?
Well, I could talk ad nauseum about Barstool.
Okay. That could be an episode.
It could be, honestly, just the misogyny of mm-hmm. Barstool.
Yeah.
But she did something. I can't even tell you what she did. And they still to this day use her as a selling point.
Wow. Which is ick. Yeah.
I didn't even know Barstool has been around for more than 2 years.
I didn't know that either.
No, Barstool Sports has been around for, I mean, you followed Barstool UT.
I was thinking, yeah, I guess I was thinking like TFM was just like funny videos of drunk people and that's what I followed it for. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But now it's a successful media company. So I guess she was, what was she doing?
I couldn't tell you. Way back when. Did you Google it?
Yeah, I'm looking it up. She
what
was,
could she have been doing?
She was content? David. Wait, is David the main guy? She was David Portnoy. His assistant.
Wow.
Shit. She's lived a couple lives.
She has.
She could probably do a I bet she should have done a tell-all with that.
That is. She's I don't think that she would have she didn't probably want to open that can of beans.
Yeah. No, not at all.
The audience are so like different. Yeah.
They, well, I have this whole, I don't have any affiliation with Barstool actually, so I'm going to say this. They tried to buy me, but to do it, like to own me the way they own like Ellie Schnitt or, you know, people like, or, what was the one? Alex and what was her name?
I'm not sure.
Alex and Alex Cooper?
Yeah, that show.
Oh, yeah, and Sophia.
Alex
and Sophia.
That whole thing where they like owned it, they owned all the IP.
Yeah.
Right after the kombucha meme happened and I was posting other videos, they called me in and they offered me a bunch of money, which at the time was not a bunch of money, but to me, I'm like, that's the most money I've ever seen in my whole life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And almost did it. And I'm so grateful I didn't because. Could you have imagined?
How long would they have owned you for?
Indefinitely, probably. It was 2 or 3 years. Wow. I don't know how the contracts work. They're different for each person, and that's what makes it work is they just use and abuse their creators.
Well, you get their following, I know, but then like it would be hard.
I don't want straight men as my following.
It would be hard to get out of that.
Yeah.
I think. Like
once
if you wanted to branch out, like you would lose a lot of that, I think, once you leave.
And so that was, I remember like sitting in this office and they were like, you know, the CEO's a woman and we're doing all the, because I was like, I have a real problem, I think, actually, with the culture of your company because it's sports and
good
titties. And I was like, I don't know if that's the best match for me. Mm-hmm. Where 90% of my audience is like the gays.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, you know, the CEO's a woman. We're doing all these internal changes and da da da. And it was kind of convincing, but kind of not. And the big thing where I was like, oh, wow, was Jenna. They use her as a selling point. And I think that, I mean, I don't want to speak for her, but like the type of person Jenna is today and all the incredible things she's done and her attitude on life and her worldview, I don't think aligns with Barstool at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is unfortunate. And I wonder if y'all think this too at any of your ex jobs, if they use you as, you know, da-da-da used to work here.
Did any of...
I know that...
They did?
I'm sorry.
No, no, no. Tell me what job like says that you used to work there.
You don't have to say the company.
I can't.
Yeah, don't.
Legally, but yes.
Well,
they say Fibula used to work here?
For sure. And it's been years now, but I like there's no doubt in my mind.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I was very much associated with the company at the time.
Wild. Mm.
I was a preschool teacher, so I bet they're like hiding that information.
Right, right. Yeah, keeping that in the
I don't think that they're advertising that by any means.
Interesting. Do you miss it ever?
I miss the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like the other day, I was on a plane sitting next to this boy who was 6-year-old who was playing Minecraft, and I was like, "Can you show me what you're doing?"
That's really cool.
And he was like, "Please leave me alone." I was like, "So what's gonna happen if you drag that over there?" Wow, tell me more.
Can't just talk to kids on planes.
I know. So I do miss kids, but I don't miss anything else.
Fair.
Brooke's on the no-fly list.
Can't sit next to kids, Liz.
I think at my last job, I've talked so much shit and how they fired me illegally that I don't think they'd like to be associated with
me.
But in our last episode, or recently, we were talking about HR, like it's a huge part of our lives. Mm-hmm. I've told this story before, but I love it. They actually made an HR for me at my first job because my manager was turning 30. So I found a bunch of news article of people who died when they were 30. And I cut them all out and I sent them to them because I was like, look, but the thing is, it was like none of the people who died of natural causes. So it was like you could die at any moment.
Right.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
So then they made an HR department for me.
Because of that?
Yeah, they thought I was threatening the manager. I was like, no, I was saying anyone can die at any moment. Uh-huh.
You count your fucking days. Happy 30th.
Yeah. Did the manager appreciate it or not really?
No.
No.
Is this a man?
Ooh. Yeah.
Fuck him.
Take a joke. Mm-hmm. It's a joke.
Your worth doesn't expire at 30.
Objectively, very funny. Yeah. Well done.
Objectively, yeah. I did
very
giggle.
Funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very funny, yeah. I know my way around HR very well.
Again, an ominous statement. coming from a man.
Wait, what's something that you've gotten in trouble for?
I've never gotten in trouble.
Oh.
Well, I did get fired. But yeah. it was weekend offline. I legally don't think I can.
I would like to discuss with you after that.
I think there's an N, there's a D, and there's an A involved in.
Oh, yeah. I know them.
Okay.
Yeah. My first job, I know they probably use me.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things, you know, Salesforce. Have you ever had to use Salesforce?
Yeah. I never understood how to use it after I was trained.
Me too. Mm-hmm. 9-10 months of using it, couldn't tell you a single thing. But
should be pretty simple. I'm sorry.
On these certain, it's called cases, like casework in Salesforce, your name is attached to it indefinitely.
Yeah.
So it'll say Brittany Tomlinson inactive.
Yeah.
My last name, by the way.
Yeah.
And so to this day, I mean, if you pull up a customer's policy and I worked on it at some point, my name is still there.
Wow.
I know that they use that.
Yeah, for a fact.
It's so scary to think about because that feels like such an intimate part of your life before all the internet bullshit. Mm-hmm. You know, like that was who I was as a 21-year-old working at this job fresh out of college feels very vulnerable and very, I didn't know what I was doing, like out of my gourd, as you would say. And now to look like who I am today and look back is a strange thing, especially that you could be judged for who you were back then. It's just very odd. But I think about it all the time. Anyway, back to Jenna.
So I think why Jenna and Julian work is because you can tell that they genuinely love each other.
Yeah.
I mean, Jenna already came with like a massive audience, but you can tell like how Julian is just like totally head over heels for Jenna. And I think that people really love seeing that. Because men can be shitty. Mm. So it's nice to see like one that's like just obsessed with their girlfriend.
Right.
And I think that that's like a fan fiction trope that everyone, or like a trope that people like, is when the guy is just obsessed with his, you know, wife.
What's the Addams
Family?
I need it.
Like
Morticia
and Gomez.
Yes.
Yeah, like people love that dynamic.
Yeah.
So I think that's why they work. And also they're just genuinely entertaining. And Jenna goes above and beyond to think of the most outlandish like shit to film.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about committing to the bit, Jenna Marbles.
Yeah.
But is she inactive now?
Yes.
She'll sometimes appear on, they just got engaged.
Wow. Yeah.
So she'll sometimes appear on his streams or things like that. We'll see her in the background.
So
but she
he's
does not.
Still wow. active.
Yes.
And she's retired, essentially?
Yeah. Julian streams and does merch drops, and he just did a nail polish collab with Holo Taco. He's slaying, honestly.
That's awesome.
He's doing great. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I really we
and they've broken
Jenna.
Up.
No, they're still
together. No, they just got engaged.
They just got engaged.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So if you would listen to me when I talk, I'd be really sick.
Well, you said, this is obviously a dated article, RIP. Oh, because she was posting. Because
she was still posting.
Okay,
yeah.
I see.
That was almost 3 years ago. Now? 2 years ago.
Two. There is a duo I'd like to move on to because I know that our audience knows them, Trixie and Katya.
Mm. Oh yeah.
So Trixie, okay, let me just answer this question once and for all. Trixie and Katya are also signed to Studio 71. So whenever you guys comment, are you guys sharing the same studio as Trixie?
Yes,
we are.
Yes,
we are signed to the same podcast network. But yes, and I think we're very much a Trixie and Katya dynamic.
Yes,
in that like you're like a singer and you're like colorful and nice to be around. And I smoke, and I'm like
Russian,
weirdly, like from Russia.
That's
or something.
Vodka.
I'm drunk right now. No, but yeah, I think it's. I think they work because they're such high contrast.
Yes,
you know, like they're complementary colors. Do you guys watch Trixie and Katya?
I have started because of Brittany. I've seen. I haven't seen a ton of their stuff together, but I've seen, like, obviously a lot of Trixie stuff from you.
Yeah, they're. Trixie's such a superstar.
And I've been following the designer that does that's doing the Trixie Motel.
Danny,
for the longest time. I can't remember why, but I love that stuff, and it's cool. And then I started seeing Trixie of your stuff, and now I've seen a lot of Trixie Danny stuff.
You want to talk about thick skin, being a drag queen, bitch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
All that makeup.
All that. It's a thick layer, actually. Yeah. Physically thick, I think that Trixie and Katya... again, paved the way for a lot of I would argue for you and me. That's how we met them.
Yeah.
Is on my YouTube channel, we did a Trixie and Katya makeup. We tried their makeup.
Oh, that's so funny.
And we posted it on Twitter, and both of them reached out and said, this is god awful. Would you like to make a video? And we said, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Turned out we're neighbors with Trixie. So fun.
Wow.
That's hilarious.
A success story.
The internet is wild.
It is
manifestation.
Wild.
Mm-hmm. But some background for everyone at home. Trixie and Katya are two drag queens who met on the filming of Drag Race season 7. Their friendship, they weren't really like friends on Drag Race.
No, they didn't really interact with each other a lot on Drag Race.
Yeah, I think they were paired together through Wow Presents, which is like the Drag Race like YouTube channel on Fashion Photo Review. And they both like, it's basically a series where you like talk about people's outfits and give like a yay or nay sort of situation.
Toot or boot.
Yeah, and their opinions were so like funny together that they were like, wow, I was like, do you want to make a series? So they came up with something called It's the, one of the most art, like,
how do you spell that?
U-N-H-H-H-H.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, you got it.
Nice.
And it says it's arguably the most watched show on the WoW Presents Plus streaming platform.
Nice.
And it propelled them to like everything that they are today, besides Drag Race, obviously. Mm. And they have like their own Viceland series, the Trixie and Katya show, the Netflix web series I like to watch.
I have a question for y'all too. Mm-hmm. Where do you see? Do you want to do live shows eventually? Do you want to keep it as a pod? What's the goal? What's the dream?
I personally have horrible stage fright.
Me too.
So yeah, ideally, I would maybe do one eventually, but I don't know how I'm going to get myself up on that stage.
Do you have Ativan?
Mm-hmm. Ativan. It just puts me to sleep.
Well, when you're super, well, yeah, because you don't need it if you're not nervous. So when you're super nervous on stage, take it and you'll be fine.
I feel like I've done that, like, because I used to get really nervous when I would give presentations
in
school. So I would take it and then, like, could not open my eyes to do the presentation.
Mm. Okay, so maybe do you
Adderall? I've tried Klonopin. No, I've never done Adderall.
Maybe you should try a combination of the two.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth looking into more drugs for me in the future. Yes.
Personally.
We can talk after.
Yeah.
Connor's going to talk about why he got fired, and I'll be like, meet me in the parking lot.
Yeah, what's in your backpack, Sarah?
Nothing. All right.
I am fired up, and I will go on any stage ever in front of, I don't care how many people.
We've talked about me, like, FaceTiming into the
Love that.
Live
Loving
show.
That.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we were actually, can I tell that story? Brooke and I have had the conversation about potentially in the future maybe doing live shows, and it brought you to tears.
I burst into tears every time,
Just thinking about the
prospect? I just, like, I also think if it were to ever happen with TMG, which is the podcast studio that we are a part of, I'm nervous that, like, the fans of Cody and Noelle would not, like, because we've gotten comments from them before that are like, we just want Cody and Noelle, like, get the shit off our channel.
Okay, well, they.
So I'm specifically worried about them. Like,
we were new enough, and so we started, since we started with TMG, it was jarring for a lot of Cody and Noelle fans to just be like, wait, it's not just going to be TMG on this channel? Yeah.
Did they give you a segue or an intro at all?
Nope.
So we had already had
a few episodes come out when we went on their show to introduce ourselves. Okay. And so it took a little bit of like hitting our stride and stop trying to prove ourselves that we were worthy of being there. Mm-hmm. And when we started doing that, which was fairly recently, it's people coming and being like, I don't even want to say this, but like I've kind of converted now and I'm like here for your podcast,
hey,
and then I'll do Cody and Noelle after. I'll do, which, like, I'm they're stoked also for us because we are their project, you know, at the end of the day. And we have now built this new thing, which is cool because
I love it.
It wasn't there a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't, and that was when we had that first conversation, which I think that we're in a much better place to be on a stage now with an audience.
I don't know. Speak for yourself. Yeah, I'm also the only woman in the whole. Like, out of the talent.
Lots
there,
writing on
which
that.
Which is just like, there does feel like a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, but we'll see.
But you're also the only funny woman because it's only you.
Yes. Thank you, Connor.
Thank you for that.
Yes.
Anytime I can be of assistance.
But I think that this is a similar way to like how it says, like Jenna, like Julian, everyone was like hesitant towards like Julian because like, and that's how they were with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
There's like this vetting process when someone is so established.
Right.
They almost like want to make sure that the person or the people coming in are like worthy of this person's time or like trustworthy. You know, and I'm not saying you guys are like untrustworthy. It's just like the audience I feel like are so skeptical and like, defensive or like very protective of the creator.
When the reality is like they've already, the ones you love and respect have already written off on Brooke and Connor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if people know this. You don't have to watch anything you don't like. You know?
Right.
That is an option available to you.
You can click
press
out.
Exit. You can do what you need to do. you don't need to leave a comment. You don't have to watch.
Right. I don't know if it's just because I have never been like obsessed with any, you know, like I was watching videos and making videos that weren't going viral a long time ago, but I wasn't obsessed with anyone for like ever. And so I actually can't wrap my head around writing a comment that isn't like, ha 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 ha.
Right.
Well, I think a lot of people develop like parasocial relationships where like they truly believe that they are friends. So like, and I also think that, I don't know, it makes you like wonder like if the fans don't trust the creator's judgment, because like you, Cody and Noelle chose you guys. So like for people to be skeptical, it's like you, they reached, like they wanted you, you know? So like please trust Cody and Noelle and that sort of thing. And then trust like Jenna that she wouldn't date an absolute, you know?
Lunatic,
Yeah.
That's a good point. So wait, was Julian, I'm sorry to go backwards now because I knew we were at Katya and Trixie, but
we'll allow it.
Yeah.
Julian, was he a streamer or anything before he started dating Jenna, or was that like a...
I'm actually 100% not sure.
I don't know.
That's such an interesting topic. That's an interesting topic as well, to talk, like people who become famous through their significant other. There is a few ways that people go about that. And some I've seen be so successful, and some are a little maybe less successful.
It's interesting when they break up. As well.
That is another interesting piece and of now, the puzzle. And
now, what, they're an influencer because they dated someone famous? Wild.
If you, I mean, that's an interesting. You do have to have some level of, like, talent, or, like, you have to be interesting enough for people to be involved with you. It, it can't just be, like, you know, you are who you are before. But once you get in that scene, also, like, dating apps now, like, aren't as usable once you're online. So that's another interesting thing.
Unusable?
They're not as usable. If people are recognizing you, because I used to work at Bumble, and my profile, your profile has your job title in it, and so like all of my dating apps had works at Bumble, and I was young, and so I had a lot of, and I was in Austin, so I had a lot of UT students being like, hey, like, would love to, like, girls were like, I would love to be a Bumble honey, which was the intern program or whatever, like.
That's a cute name, and I will say
that. I know, it is. It is cute, but I was like, oh, like, but what about my upper body or my face? Anything there, or did you just want an intro to the marketing team?
What are we doing?
Then it felt like I'm like, you know, I'm like in this position of power. I'm like, okay, well, you have to go on a date with me, and then I'll put your resume up at the top for the.
Very strange.
Then I was like, okay, now I can't have my job in here. But then it's like, what does this person do for work? So now it's like, oh, like you recognize the face from TikTok or like whatever. And then it's like, oh, I'm swiping right because I'm unethically clout chasing this individual.
It's like really weird with dating, like. You don't really date, but like I will go on like dating apps and they will recognize like me from somewhere.
How do you deal with that?
I would say like it's not as annoying coming from women. However, where it does get like really kind of gross is like Instagram DMs, which I don't usually mind, but like I'm not like a guy, and they very much approach me in like a very desperate way as if I was a guy. Like I'm like just thinking with my pussy, not, you know, like it's like that sort of thing.
I'm just thinking with my pussy.
But it's like, it's like this is obviously like uncomfortable, and you're a woman, and I don't want to like do any, you know, I'd rather they not know me. But when they don't know me and I'm like, I'm a YouTuber, they're like, you're nothing. You know, they could literally be a barista and they'd be like, you're nothing to me. But
my experience is right when the kombucha meme happened, I was on dating apps, and that was all it was. It was, oh, no way, you're from the meme. Screenshotted, posted on Twitter. You talking about, we were talking about on Raya, you can't screenshot profiles. I did not have that luxury or that affordance to me. So it literally was like, my anonymity is gone. My privacy is gone. My intimate moments are now being taken from me. You can't exist, especially as a woman, like you can't exist in this anonymous femininity. It was completely taken from me. And so, what are you? So early, too.
That's
so early. I've been viral for a month.
You're also like an outgoing person, and you're out and about, and you're at bars, and you're doing this. And then it's like, talk about vulnerable. Like,
drunk.
I mean, you can take it from me, too. I've been there. That sucks when people are like, oh my God, this fucked
it
up.
Sucks.
It's like, I'm at a bar, not TJ Maxx. Obviously, I'm drunk.
Drunk and bumbling.
I have also been drunk at TJ Maxx, so I should. Bad example.
But it is that. It's a very dismal experience, and it's a lot of, I mean, people are so horny, especially after the pandemic. People are so horny because we were robbed of, you know, being together for so long. But it's, you know, talk about, oh my God. I used to go on like these shows on Comedy Central, MTV. It's like, talk about the weirdest hookup you've had. And I'm like, it's been years because I don't put myself in situations where that would even be a possibility because I'm scared. Right. It's hard. And it's also like, it's a big thing of trust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't trust these fucking people. It's a strange thing.
Yeah.
So it's no one like, really.
What are their motivations?
Exactly. And I never thought, ew, that's so cringe.
I know, but it's
We're Disney Channel stars.
I'm seriously.
I
walked into the head of Disney Channel and I said, I want to make history. Thank you for appreciating that. If that fell flat, I would have walked out. I would have walked out.
No, I get it. This is Debbie Ryan for anyone listening.
Mm. Oh. I mean, it was funny by itself before I knew the reference.
Oh, it was good. It was good. Like, not Debbie Ryan. No. I want people to say that. Okay. Anyway.
I want to move on to
Keep
Cody us on and track, Noelle. Sarah. So Cody and Noelle are like two like huge, they former Viners, now YouTubers. And I don't know if asking you about Cody and Noelle is like asking Brittany about the kombucha meme, where it's like something like you're known for, or like is it like the question gets asked too many times?
Yeah, are you so over it, or are you down to have a little chat?
Yeah.
So Cody and Noelle is technically their boss, like the podcast that like owns their podcast company. But they're Tiny Meat Gang. And so let's just talk about them. I followed both of them on Vine. We were all like mutuals. Too. Yeah.
Did you used to follow when Cody and Devin quit their jobs and traveled the world? Remember that?
No.
I don't think I started watching them till that's cringe, maybe.
T.
Mm-hmm. I was later. Big I did, Vine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big Vine.
I knew
guy.
Cody from Vine.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kelsey. I watched her stuff too.
Mm.
But.
Mm. Yeah. No, I mean, I was like a follower. I always thought we were the same age, which is really funny. Like my whole like college experience when I had my 4 hours on Vine every night, which is incredible the amount of videos I was probably consuming that were 6 seconds when I was, I lived on campus at UT freshman year, and I'd get back to my dorm, I'd lay on the ground and I'd hold my phone over my face and scroll on Vine for hours.
And there was a limited amount of Vines. It wasn't infinite scrolling. Right.
Which is
TikTok.
Funny. Well, it's also really funny because when I was looking at that the other day, and some of the people that I thought that I still like would recognize in public that aren't even super famous had like 200,000 followers. Like it wasn't like
it carried a different weight.
It wasn't 140 million followers like Charlie D'Amelio type thing. It was like
it wasn't as easy to
200,000
followers.
Well, Sarah, when you passed, you want to talk about that on TikTok?
Yeah, I had like when Vine died, I lost like 850,000 followers, and then
which was so much on Vine.
Yeah, it was crazy. But when I surpassed that, I was like, holy shit. Cause like you know that it was just like weird. But 850,000 was a lot. Like I was nominated for like Viner of the Year with 850,000 followers. You know
that's right. I mean it is a Charlie D'Amelio level situation now to think about, which is just crazy.
It was numbers we had never seen before on Vine. Yeah. Like that many people is actually absurd to think about.
Yeah.
And now when I see I met someone, I was just telling her in the car, I met someone at VidCon who had like 40 million followers on TikTok.
And you could just not know who they are. It's wild. Idea. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Like, mathematically. Who are these people?
Yeah.
Who are these people? Someone like Charlie, someone like KB, is that who just surpassed
KB
her?
KB Lane,
That content doesn't have...
I've never even heard of KB.
Oh, no, he slays. Well, that's the thing. That content doesn't have words. Dancing doesn't have words. You don't have to be an English speaker to follow these people. Mm. What is limiting... And what I was even more shocked because this person was an English speaker. 40 million people? You know how many fucking people that is?
Well, a lot of those people I figured out because I literally don't. I know that basically the people in LA, which is like that's as far as my knowledge goes of like TikTokers. But some of these people, like a lot of the big 40 million people were from Musical.ly.
Mm-hmm.
And it just carried over. Mm-hmm. And when they got over and they had 100,000 Musical.ly people, they were fed into the feed when it became TikTok, when the wave of people came on. And so they were in everyone's FYP when FYP started.
Mm-hmm.
And so people followed them because they had followers.
Right.
Like a
famous for being famous.
Like a Lauren Gray situation, who's someone that I didn't know until this year, who has
really
70 million or something. Like she came from Musical.ly.
Yeah.
But I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you think about, like, it makes sense why, like, there's, like, you have millions on TikTok versus Vine. Because, like, Vine was limited. Like, limiting. You can't, if, like, no dancing. You could lip sync songs, but, like,
boring.
It would be boring, and it's 6 seconds. None of the people, like, it's very hard. It was very hard to be a Viner when you're, like, aesthetic based. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's so easy to be aesthetically pleasing on TikTok. And
you
I feel like.
You can't quote it.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the thing. What the quotable Vines.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this dude was so hot.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna say like Viners didn't have like more of a talent, but it was harder to like create something unique in 6 seconds.
Succinct,
that
yeah.
wasn't based off of. I mean, there were like hot Viners, but you can't probably rest on that on Vine as much as you could now.
I was so happy when Cody made his first YouTube videos. I don't know if y'all remember this. Because when Vine died, I was devastated. I was like, I'm never going to hear from these people ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was the great migration of the Viners to YouTube. And when he posted his first video, it was a minute long. It was him stuttering through it and being like, fuck this, fuck, whatever. That was it. And I was like, disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, bad video. And then they just got better and better.
Wow.
Devin, Marcus, Sam, that whole with the vlogs, all of that was just my bread and butter. I was obsessed. And I was so happy that these people had managed to find another platform. And I feel like TikTok was that second chance for a lot of people, which, you know, you say all the time that it gave you a second chance. So I am so happy that that talent that we thought we had lost from Vine has made its way through, you know, the sewer of the internet.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
That's scary. Like, when we had the scare with TikTok, and this is this is we're basically like a year and a half into like, okay, we could do this. So it's not even been 18 months, and you know,
isn't
we're
wild?
It's just, it's insane. It's happened so fast. Like, I'm pretty sure I'll look back and be like, wow, that actually took like an insane toll on me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so much happened.
Can't wait.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's weird because so much has changed in my life like so quickly. But I mean, like, to think that like Cody and Noel were like people I've looked up to for whatever years are like my buddies. Like, I have their phone numbers and like whatever.
Stupid.
And they like, we are on their podcast network, but like still I'm like, oh, I look up to these people so much, but like play it, you know, like play it cool, and like we are there. We're like in this industry together. Like peers.
It's a very gratitude. Very grateful.
It's insane, but they are like this duo. They're just like the duo of the duo to me.
Yeah, and they're like, I mentioned, like, I barely watch the internet, but I watch them, and so because of that, I still can barely have a conversation with either of them because I get so nervous every single time.
She, by the way, cracks both of them up.
Yeah,
like, oh, I sit totally silent, and Brooke will start talking, and Cody does his laugh. And Noelle is silent laughing,
I think they
like
feel
hitting,
bad for me.
Hitting his lip.
No, it's not
it's,
that.
I'm floundering around them all the time. The other day, I was trying to like start a conversation with Cody, and I was just like, so like,
I can
guess
hold
how long I can hold my breath underwater for. Could not think of anything else.
We were walking all
and he was like, oh, how long? Because he's so nice. He's so nice. He's like,
so
how long?
Canadian.
And I was like, probably like a minute or something. I cannot.
I can't
do it.
It was like speaking.
And they're so patient with me and so nice.
Speaking outside of the situation, I was right there, and I'm like, I know Brooke has trouble talking to Cody, so I was like, I'm gonna let them have their me time, but if I need to jump in and save the thing, I'm gonna do it. Yeah, I can basically hold my breath for a while, and I was like, no fucking way. I literally went like this. No. I like had
it's
to
so
turn.
Bad. It is so bad.
And Cody's like, oh my God.
He's so,
right. Like,
so nice.
How long do you think?
So
like Brooke became one of her preschoolers that she used to look after.
It's really
like,
bad.
Yeah, I can hold my breath for a while. And he's like, really, Brooke, tell me about it. Yeah, like
he's
a
so
minute.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes my mom and dad sleep in different beds. Yeah.
At least with him, I can get that out. With Noelle, I just stare. And then just like,
well, Noel is a beautiful man.
Well,
Noel's
even
hot.
Just like, he's just so, they're so smart, too.
Which by the way,
they're geniuses.
Noel, his brain is like
rotted.
Awesome.
Smooth.
He's
well, close.
Yeah.
He's very, very smart.
Yes.
He's just like on. Like when we walked in here and you guys were like spitting ideas for like some of our show stuff. That's how he is, and it's just like, I wouldn't have gotten there unless I take shrooms.
Right.
Like, my brain wouldn't have, those neurons would never have crossed paths.
Yeah, seen each other.
Yeah.
Met.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it works like that. I think they have a dynamic where, like you said, like, Cody's a little more goofy, Noelle's. I think but it just like clicks. They're like one unit, mm-hmm. and they can go back and forth riffing, mm-hmm. which is just like really makes for the best things.
Yeah.
Show.
Yeah. Complimenting men on this podcast.
Sorry, I can't help it.
Never again.
I think it's really cool. Like, so a lot of these like duos, like probably not fallen off, but like it's crazy to see like, I mean, one person maintain longevity, but like a duo to be like so respected through like, it's not like several generations, mm-hmm. but like several generations of the internet. So we're like, you could experience like Cody and Noelle like early on like YouTube, and now you can experience the podcast.
Right.
And it's the same sort of like oomph as like, so yeah, you can communicate.
I don't know how they don't burn out, because I make one video every once a month, video, and I am taking a nap for 14 hours.
Yeah,
I know you're not agreeing with that. You cannot relate to that.
No,
you're pumping out content like it's your job. Like it's all of our fucking jobs.
It's fucking tiring though.
It's
a balance. Yeah. It's a balancing act, you know. And then to also to have a business with my roommate and you know, one of my very close friends is like, it's and I'm never here. Mm-hmm. Like I'm never in LA. Yeah. I'm always traveling. That's stressful. But things like that, you know, where it's a balancing act of what's most important. And so this is very important to both of us. So, but I am, I do enjoy a 14 hour nap.
Yeah. I mean, minimum.
Mm-hmm. Like concerning amount of sleep.
Yeah.
Medically concerning.
Yes. Yes.
Your body, you have to listen to your body.
You have to. You don't have a choice.
Everybody's just 14 hours.
I fell asleep in the middle of taking my socks off yesterday, and I woke up with one sock in my hand and the other on my foot. Because I just couldn't even.
Googled narcolepsy?
No, I don't think I have narcolepsy.
She has an iron deficiency and she's refusing to acknowledge
it. No, I think I'm just depressed. Truly.
Is your vision kind of foggy?
No.
Okay.
Can you feel your Can you feel your hands and feet?
Yeah.
Do you get numb?
I've gotten all these blood tests and everything. I'm healthy as a horse.
Uh-huh.
I used to have this fear when I was a kid that when you would get blood tests done, it was vampires.
Oh.
Like genuinely, I thought they were taking all my blood and like doing something with it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So like a vampire is like swishing it in their mouth, like a sommelier.
Yeah.
She does have
literally
iron deficiency.
A really good video idea for you. Vampire sommelier.
Thanks.
Free idea.
Write that down.
I'll remember it. But yeah, so they've stood the test. Do you want to touch on a couple more, like who have?
I want to talk on some of the unconventional duos.
So we do have a list of unconventional duos, and they're unconventional in that they don't like each other, or they're not actually duos, but they're commonly associated with each other.
Interesting.
So we, Drew Gooden and Danny Gonzalez,
love them,
are not duo. Like they're not a pair, but they are commonly associated with each other, and they do collab a lot.
And they are the same person.
Mm-hmm. And
I do actually get them confused, and I follow them both on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And
that's
when they pop up, I get.
Isn't there not a code of honor amongst funny white men?
What? How do you mean? No, unless our dads are NBC execs, we're not going to make it to in SNL anyways.
Fair. I finally got to meet Danny at VidCon. Kind of fingered a little bit. And he came up to me.
You know, that's I thought you said kind of fingered a little bit.
Too,
and I was like, what did we...
I didn't do that.
He's married.
He's married, yeah. I would never.
So.
But isn't it crazy, like, all the Vine kids are, like, doing pretty well?
Yeah, go
Both
for
Drew
them.
And Danny are from Vine.
But they established their niche. They are comedic commentary channels,
but
which is always going to be a market for
the thing, Drew didn't make his, like, you know, when Vine ended, he didn't initially get on like YouTube. I remember going to like the Shorty Awards with him, and he's like, I guess I'm going back to like my job.
Wow.
And so I'm walking around with him and his
That's
wife.
That's scary.
And literally a couple months later, he blows up on YouTube.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I gotta get on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You do?
All right, gotta get married. One or the other.
Trophy wife? Or no, a breadwinner wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, you give
I'm
stay at home
staying
dad.
Home.
Cannot trust that enough.
I cannot go back to the office. Gives me a heart murmur.
We also have a Shane and Jeffrey.
Oh, I can talk about Shane and Jeffrey for so long.
So here's the thing.
Holy fuck.
Shane and Jeffrey are not a pair. Like, they have no official duoing. Mm. But, like, they did a series together, and they're both problematic.
Yes.
So, like, it made... And it was a captivating series, but they're... I feel like a lot was, like, hate watch and genuine intrigue. You
it
know what I mean?
It was, like, what the fuck are they going to do next?
Yeah.
I cannot, still to this day, believe that all of that happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much all at once. And
what
so many
did,
problematic people.
What did happen?
Would you be...
Well, I know what happened with Shane, but what happened...
they're just the most problematic people, and they paired up together and made a makeup palette.
Yeah, of course.
And as they do, as, you know, as one does. One, and yes.
They broke it into like a 5-part series. And it was like hour long.
It was just the most absurd thing of like, Shane made this video series called The Wonderful Life of Jeffree Star or something like that. And then they talked, like, it was just how rich Jeffree is and how many business ventures he has. And Shane the whole time being like, oh my God, Jeffree. Oh my God, like, because he's so rich. Like, Shane Dawson isn't also one of the richest YouTubers ever.
Yeah.
Wearing shirts with holes in it and, like, acting like he's poor. Shut the fuck up.
Right. Yeah.
Like, these people have so much money. And it was just such, it was an intrigue.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I can't believe this is real. It's a piece of media I'm consuming. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, the exposés that he did on, or honestly, redemption arcs that he did for Tana Mojo, Jake Paul, Jeffree Star, whoever the, Eugene Cooney.
Yeah.
All these, like, you know, people who have had their eras have come and gone, who for some reason he felt needed redemption, and they got it because of his expose, documentary, whatever
that's
he did. Yeah. It was just the most wild era of YouTube. What, 4 years ago?
Yeah, probably.
Strange.
I have to say, I actually, like, I don't know what reason I'm watching Jeffree Star's Discover page on Snapchat. But, like, it's hard to look away.
The one with the farm?
With the yaks?
Yeah, he's got a yak farm, bitch.
Dude, but he, I did consume that content.
He was raising yaks, and everyone's like, oh, he has, like, pets now.
Yeah.
He's killing them. He's murdering them.
Oh, yeah. He's selling yak jerky.
That is so...
I have to...
I guess, like, I can't speak because I
don't give it
meat,
to him.
But, like, there's something about how close he was with the yaks.
Naming
and now
them.
That he's that selling it's, them, it's not sitting right.
It's interesting as a business person. I'm not saying I'm one, but... It's interesting the way that you convince yourself. It's like, oh, this is lucrative. So they're not my pets anymore because I have too many. I'm going to kill the ones that I don't. I haven't met yet.
We got teriyaki jerky. We but got sesame vinegar.
The way that he's justifying it is he's like, there's no preservatives in this yak meat. It's one of the, it's one of the healthiest yak meats. So I'm just providing back to the town that I'm living in. And it's like, well, you live there because of... Remember you are, like, blacklisted in L.A.?
Right. So, remember you're a billionaire who bought this land?
Yeah.
You ever been to, like, Lush, like, the store?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Where they always say who made, you know, the, like, the Lush products? Yes. But this time you get the name of the yak. This was Anthony.
It's so
and then you get,
sad.
Like, a little headshot of Anthony.
No, I can't. I cannot lie to you.
You want to eat
like,
it?
That's, like, very a real thing in Texas. Like,
yes. Yes.
Like, I have eaten cows that
you could
they
say
knew.
Their name.
Yeah, we eat Bevo, who's our mascot. Yeah. We eat him at when he's of age today.
Slay.
Bevo?
Literally, we slay him.
See, I don't know if I'd be able to do that.
Bevo
the story
is
of Bevo.
The longhorn that is our mascot at UT Austin.
Yeah.
And would you like to tell the story of how they got the name Bevo?
No, I don't know it.
You don't know it?
No.
So
Lil Miss Giggum knows it.
I do know it. Texas A&M, Texas University, were rivals, still are. We snuck over to Austin one night. I was there. Branded their cattle, their longhorn, their mascot, with the score of the game that we just beat them in, 13-0.
A real
13-0,
animal?
13-0, a real animal. Branded them 13-0. They saw it the next morning, put a horseshoe over it as another branding, spelled Bevo, and that's how, just truly awful.
That horse is like, oh my God, what, or
what did I do for them?
Yeah, the cow is like,
God damn it, shit! About football.
Yeah.
It was, that's the story of
that's
Bevo.
That's crazy.
So y'all made it your own because we decided to mutilate an animal that belonged to you.
Damn.
Yeah, really great story.
I love traditions.
We ate him.
Yeah, so really glad to know that you guys just
we ended up just eating him. I mean, I say I've never had the privilege of eating our mascot.
Right.
Do you guys, you don't eat your dog?
We don't eat the dog. We don't eat Revly. Yeah, it's okay.
Met him one time.
Revly? Mm-hmm. It's a girl, so.
Met her one time.
I think.
Not me misgendering the A&M mascot.
No worries at all. I think it's so interesting to think of, back to Jeffree Star, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Him in his town, what, Wyoming? Is he in Wyoming?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just at the local farmer's market, like, well, it's honest work. We're out here. We got them all day, all year. Wild.
He takes him to Tractor Supply Co. and takes him inside. I just want to know how many people in this town are
like
we're going to, like, kill you.
Yeah.
Like, we hate you so much.
Get out.
Yeah.
You have ruined the economy of this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, well, I think he's in Jackson Hole, which is where Kanye West has a place.
Well, there was the whole rumor about them hooking up.
Right.
Which remember I still can't wrap my head around.
Yeah. Oh, Twitter that day was so fucking
funny.
That was
so funny.
I really thought Jeffree handled that really well.
Yeah.
I don't know that much about Jeffrey, like OG Jeffrey.
Sounds
I'm just,
like you do.
I just know him from this like new thing on Snapchat Discover page.
Yeah. Oh, Snapchat loves to highlight Jeffree Star. Yeah. I always keep it. I'm like, oh yeah, he exists.
Yeah, it's like watching a train wreck. Like it's horrible, but like you can't look away. Like I just like need to see what happens.
Yeah.
Mm. We're also gonna touch on a couple more unconventional duos, like Frenemies, which is Ethan Klein and
Trisha Paytas.
I think they started off disliking each other. They are two very, very strong personalities that were not afraid to disagree with each other, and so a lot of people watched it because, like, as their name would suggest, friend, enemies, mm-hmm. like frenemies.
Yeah, you want to talk about train wreck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was very much night and day, and not like in an endearing way. It was like, yeah, kind of a train wreck, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's why it worked, is because it was a type of duo that you've never seen before.
Right. Incredibly successful, incredibly entertaining. Yeah. We were all locked inside. Right. We wanted to see them.
Mm-hmm.
When did this that fight? So it started during the pandemic?
During the pandemic.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I think of Ethan Klein, obviously, and Trisha Paytas, but mostly Ethan Klein as like longevity, like very cool, very put together,
H3
and
for
really
sure.
great.
Well, he's been around forever doing other things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just didn't realize the podcast wasn't like an OG YouTube podcast.
No. Well, Frenemies started and ended during the pandemic.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was really fun.
Well,
to
it's because they know each other because Ella's brother is Moses.
Yes.
Right? Yes.
They are married.
Oh, my God. Whoa.
They are married.
So they're, yes.
Yeah.
So they're siblings-in-laws, kind of. By association.
That's, if it could get any like messier.
Yeah.
It's actually really sad. They don't like, talk
tragic.
Anymore
yeah.
or anything. It's very sad. Yeah. But I do want to talk about Elijah and Christine.
So another unconventional duo for like everyone. So there's Christine Sadelko and Elijah Daniel. And they were an unusual duo. They're again very, very strong personalities. Like I mean like very strong personalities. Yeah. Like Elijah Daniel got a tattoo of Donald Trump sucking a dick on his leg.
Mm-hmm.
Christine Sadelko, like, just so fucking funny, like, blew up. Mary Chrysler, like, that meme was her. And they were just, like, they worked, you know, in the beginning because, mm-hmm. like, they were just so polarizing, but they eventually, like, fell out is why, you know.
Which is always sad and very interesting to talk about when these duos end up hating each other.
Yeah.
And they fight. Mm-hmm. Or they date and it goes wrong, or it's something that happens behind the scenes and then they never address it. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, whatever happened to da-da-da? That's literally what it becomes.
People find out, too.
Oh, it comes out to light. Anyway, yeah. When that person 3 years later is like, damn, I need a YouTube video idea.
Oh, yeah.
You should bring up this old drama.
Ooh.
Very interesting.
Bank account's kind of hurting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly.
Let me do a tell-all.
Yeah.
I love it.
I think a lot of, like, of the, you know, duos that work, like, you know, Rhett and Link, there's a give and take, you know, like where you can, like you say something you disagree with, the other person's like, I can see where you're coming from that.
Yeah.
These three, like, groups would absolutely, like, not humor each other,
yeah.
like, if they disagreed on something. And I feel like that could quickly turn volatile off scene,
yeah.
like, off camera. And that's probably, like, what caused their demise. But it also was very entertaining, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
people are very nostalgic for that era, too, because that was peak Vine.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It was right after Vine too, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Elijah was on TikTok for a bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got pretty involved with
Elijah. I remember that.
Yeah.
What happened? Do you want to talk about it?
I mean, it was honestly a while back now, but like he was going to start a reality show with TikTokers and I didn't know anybody on TikTok.
Holy fuck, I remember
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh my
God.
But I still don't know if it was real. Sally Dar was in it.
Emmy and Ian were supposed to be in it.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I became mutuals with Emmy and Ian, because uh-huh. we were all in a group text to plan
this failed
the house.
Show.
Claudia Conway.
Claudia Conway
oh
was one of the big
God.
Ones.
She's literally 17.
I know. It was a
weird.
It was interesting. Yeah. It was really interesting, but there was a brand that was involved, and then it just never happened, and I have not heard from Elijah since.
Wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very wild. And then, of course,
hope he's okay.
To wrap up the final unconventional duos, which kind of started it all, I would say the Vlogbrothers, John and Hank.
I went to VidCon just so I would see them, and then I saw both of them and did not say a word.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. They're an unconventional duo because they are brothers, but, like, they don't actually – I mean, they do collab, but, like, that's not what they're known for. Like, Cody
right.
and Noelle mm-hmm. known for being together.
They're also not comedic. a lot of these are comedic duos.
Right. Yeah, so they're like very much educational content. But yeah, they started like VidCon and they were like the OG like YouTubers. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they are an unconventional duo, but they are related.
They got me through AP classes in high school.
Uh-huh. It's just so fascinating.
They do everything.
That mm-hmm. I never had heard of Hank Green.
That's like the only person I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
I've never heard of him.
Until what, TikTok?
Until Brooke.
Crazy. Wow. Huh?
Yeah. I knew John Green because of
the books.
The Fault in Our Stars. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason I knew John Green's name, but mm-hmm. I didn't know. Never would I have guessed that Hank and John were related in two separate fields.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people who think they're the same person.
Successful yeah. I mean, actually, in two separate fields brother, and together.
The right. third brother, CeeLo.
Green?
Good yeah. point.
CeeLo Green.
Thank you for raising awareness for that, Tara.
We like to squeeze him in.
Oh my God, I love his work.
Mm-hmm. I really think that the Vlogbrothers, VidCon aside, I mean, creating that monolith mm-hmm. of
you know
this
Paramount
whole...
owns it now? VidCon?
Someone just bought it.
Viacom
it
bought it and then Paramount. Paramount, yeah.
Now that makes sense why Paramount Plus was there.
In a big way.
I was in the press room and they were like, Paramount Plus, a few questions. What's your favorite show on Paramount Plus? SpongeBob is the only one I know, by the way. So I'm going to say SpongeBob. Love you guys.
Well, you've just sold me on Paramount Plus because I didn't know that.
I only know the iCarly reboot.
What's on Paramount?
I don't know. I think so.
We
were on our podcast the other day, and I was like, yeah, unfortunately, it's on Peacock. Fuck you, Peacock. And then like I'm like, I just shot myself in the foot for a brand deal in the future.
Mm-hmm. Can't take that one back.
Sorry.
Where did you say that on?
On our podcast.
Oh, shit.
Well, I was just like really annoyed because I had to, there was actually no other options. And I pay for everything else, so nothing against Peacock except like everything because fuck, like it's, there's nothing else on it except what the show I wanted to watch.
That's so annoying. Mm-hmm. Do you watch Yellowstone?
No, because I can't watch dark, anything dark because I have to chase it at the end with
hey,
like Always Sunny. Or
growing
like,
up. Have you, like, grown up?
I live alone. So it's like, I
well,
need.
Like Yellowstone's scary? It's not scary.
Is it about like national parks?
Yeah, it's about
what happens?
It's about well, it's got what's his name in it?
Oh my
Kevin
God,
Costner.
CeeLo Green.
Kevin, yeah, CeeLo Green and Kevin Costner.
I was gonna say that bear that prevents forest fires.
Smokey the Bear.
Woody.
Yeah, Smokey Robinson.
Smokey Robinson and Neil Armstrong, the first man on the moon, is actually in it.
Stuck only in the
you
forest.
Can prevent moon landings.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't. It didn't actually happen, by the way.
What?
The moon landing.
Oh, don't get him started.
Yeah, I met a girl this weekend. She convinced me it was fake, and so that's what I'm. That's my new thing.
What was her reasoning that it was fake?
I cannot remember. I was so drunk.
Hey, it sounds like it struck you though.
Yeah,
that's the only part I remember is that she was like, "No, it's not real." And I was like, "I totally believe you."
So this has been
great way to end the duo talk.
Yes,
the landing did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Well, thank you to Brooke and Connor.
Thank you guys.
Thanks for having
absolute
us.
Absolute legends. Love you guys so much.
We love you.
Please check out their podcast, Brooke and Connor Make a Podcast.
Yes.
Really, BNC MAP.
Nice.
Book map. And we love you guys, and thank you for listening. And yes, we're going on tour, and yes, that's happening, and it's me and Sarah.
And this has been Violating Community Guidelines. Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts.
Music podcast.
You know
please
where to
like
find us.
Subscribe. Love you.
All right. Bye, guys.
Goodbye. Bye, guys.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that.
Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.